Well, it's good to have a day off, but it's also good to be back in the studio, and I'm glad you're here with me. This is the opening day edition of Woods and Water South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz. You can listen to this show on your FM dial. Download the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app or listen to the live streaming feed at www.conservativetalk945.com. Just look on the right side of the webpage and click the Listen Live link. And I believe we got some people in far off Minnesota listening in today. And you'll hear more about that in just a few minutes. Opening day. No, I'm not talking about deer season. You see, when I was growing up in the early 70s, we didn't have any deer around or just very few because they just started stocking Sumter National Forest in the late 50s and 60s. And the deer hadn't spread to where we grew up in the town of Chester. So, but we did have lots and lots of small farms, and that meant we had plenty of doves. So to us, and to probably many of you out there that grew up hunting and fishing back in the 70s or before, opening day of dove season was the real start to a seasonal year of being outdoors in South Carolina. It started in September with doves, then came rabbit and squirrels, fall turkeys, quail the week of Thanksgiving was another big opening day in the South, along with ducks if you had a swamp. You know, Christmas vacation meant just about anything you saw was fair game, just as long as you were willing to eat it for supper. Winter was slow. You could still find a covey of quail, but you didn't want to shoot too many out of a covey because they'd either just disappear or they wouldn't have enough to replenish to a full covey of 20, 25 birds the next spring. Soggy March, that just meant you had time indoors to get all your Zebco or Johnson reels relined. Shiny new red and white bobbers, split shot and new hooks. Maybe you had enough money left over to buy a new Meps Minnow to replace the one that old Bucket Mouse stole from you last June. April brought those rods off the water and you fished until it got too hot in July, which gave you almost 2 months to get ready for opening day of dove season again. And the cycle started all over again. So opening day, dove season officially is today. It opened Monday, Labor Day, but the first state fields are open today. And I hope all those guys out there are having a good time. I went to a Take One, Make One youth hunt Monday. I'll have more on that next week. And I watched seven kids, six of them first-time dove hunters, figure out how to hit a few, but mostly miss them, those sneakily fast little birds. I never put my hand on a shotgun that day, but we, you know, the parents, the mentors, and the kids had a great day, even though it was really hot. It was somewhere in the mid-90s and with no cloud cover. Take one, make one etiquette. Let me say just a word about this because I witnessed it. If you get drawn for one of these take one, make one hunts, but decide not to go, please let the DNR program people know that you're not coming because all of these events have more kids apply than are spaces for filling. So if you're not going to go, there's another kid waiting in line who would like to go in your place. So if you decide not to go, please get back to DNR. Let them know you're not going to be there so they can line up another kid to come in and be on the hunt that you were supposed to go on. And they don't mind if you just get up to it a couple days before and your child says, I just don't want to go. That's fine. This is not a force program for anyone. It's a voluntary program, but there are other kids that might want to go. So keep that in mind. Also, if you already hunt, have a place to go, don't sign your kids up for these hunts. These hunts are for those kids who don't have someone or someplace to go hunting. And that's who we had on these hunts. I talked to those kids, had a good time with them. I hope some of them find a way to keep on getting outside and store a lifetime of memories like I have. Today, after this show, I'll extend a 40-year streak of opening day dove hunts to 41 years. And this one's going to be special because I'm going with a friend I haven't seen since that I've known since third grade, but haven't seen him in almost 10 years, which means we'll be doing a lot of catch up, burning a little bit of powder, just like we did many, many years ago together. So looking forward to that one today. Today is a busy show. Hang on. I talked to Tom Jeffrey from Jeffrey Archery in Columbia this morning on tips for bow hunters, maintenance, and last-minute add-ons. We're going to have Amanda Dow from Duke Energy on to talk about the National Hunting and Fishing Day coming up on September the 20th down at the World of Energy facility on Lake Kiwi. And then Chris Bergen, and a lot of you said, who? Chris Bergen from the University of Minnesota to talk about what it was like to fish in the FLW Cup last month down at Lake Murray. You see, every year, one collegiate bass fishing team qualifies through their tournament series to fish on the national stage with 45 pros and 45 co-anglers. And Chris and his partner, Felix qualified on the pro side. Chris qualified on the co-angler side. And these two guys were one of the first people I talked to at media day at the ramp. And it was just a good conversation. We ran into each other all during the week. I know Chris's family was down. They had a really good time, I hope. And I said, you know what? When you get back to Minnesota and you get all kind of squared away again and everything settles down, I want to have you on the show just to talk about what it was like as a, you know, I think he's a junior in college, what it was like to be on that kind of national stage with those guys. And he's going to tell us what it was like. So that's coming up. The calendar of events for this week, and it was just like last week. The 13th of September seemed to be a day that was just loaded with everything. This week, it's September the 20th. Well, let's start out with Skytop update, Skytop Orchards up there for the East Flat Rock. According to their schedule, the Galas, they could be still around. The Red and Golden Delicious, Cortland's, Mutsu's, Candy Crisps, Jonathan's, and Johnny Gold's are all here the first couple of weeks of September. And the Johnny Gold's, if you haven't had one before, they're good substitutes in case you missed the Honeycrisp that just got hammered the couple of weeks before Labor Day. So anyway, get a chance to ride up the mountains, go up there, pick some apples, get some of those donuts. As soon as we can figure out a time that all the family can go, we're going to be up there too. Now, the first item on the calendar events, I've got to preface a little bit. I have not been able to get in touch with anyone down at the South Carolina Wildlife Federation to see if there's still openings here, but this is the Women's Outdoor Retreat. Online registration is closed. They have a link on their website that says, please email Sarah Green to inquire about space available. So I don't know whether it's full. I did not get response this week. Could be full, might not be full, but this is a women's outdoor retreat. It's sponsored by South Carolina Wildlife Federation, along with a lot of other people. It's September the 19th to the 21st at Hickory Knob State Park down in McCormick, South Carolina. Open to age females age 16 and older. And they just have a load of things. I mean, food's there, overnight accommodations, classes. A lot. Listen to some of these class descriptions. Appalachian heritage, archery, backyard wildlife, habitat, canoeing. Here's a good one for you. Fish cleaning and cooking, fly fishing, geocaching, kayaking intro, map and compass, nature photography, outdoor cooking, paddle boarding, skeet shooting, firearm safety, survival skills, yoga. Okay. I'll give that one to you. If you check in and it is full, be sure to put this down on your calendar for next year. Guys, this would be a wonderful gift to give your wife if she's interested in the outdoors. And if you're like me, I'm a very good doer, but I'm a very bad teacher. This is a good one for you to give your wife as a gift to say, honey, go off and have some fun and then come back and we can share what I do together. So anyway, like I said, you need to call and check and make sure that one's still open. I don't know. Fiddlin' Pig Shindig Annual Barbecue and Bluegrass Festival over in Fort Mill, South Carolina. This is September 19th through the 20th. Oh, got a lot of music going on. Got a lot of barbecue going on. This is, I believe this one is the one that is a Kansas City Barbecue Association sanctioned event. It's going to be a good one. On Friday and Saturday, I believe Friday is an anything but barbecue with music. And then Saturday's the big barbecue and a lot of music, good prizes. I love some of these team names. Smoke on This, Slap Your Mama Barbecue, Swamp Cat Barbecue. So anyway, we didn't get very far on the calendar of events. I'll finish it up on the other side. Here's another good one. Smoking Buttheads. Okay. Take that for what it is. Anyway, we'll finish up the calendar of events on the other side and get on into some of the stuff that I got planned for this show. Hang on with me. Got got my good friend Huey Lewis bringing us back from the break there. Let's see, where were we? We were talking about the barbecue event over in Fort Mill. If you go to the website, this is actually an event put on by the Ann Springs Close Greenway Foundation. And if you go to their website, the event's there and their directions, because they've got events going on like four or five places, but all the directions are there for you to make to those places over in Fort Mill. Sounds like a really good time. And you know, me and barbecue, anything there, that's just me. I mentioned earlier that we're going to have Amanda Dow on from Duke Energy. The Upstate National Hunting and Fishing Day set for September 20th at Duke Energy's World of Energy. That's up off Lake Kiwi. It's a hands-on event. It's free. That's all I'm going to say about it until we get her on the air, because she's going to give us an insider's view of what's going to go on that day. I will be there during the morning, taking pictures. Might have a few little things from the goodie bag to give away, so I look forward to being there for that day. Living History Day at 96 National Historic Site, September the 20th. It's going to be interacting with living historians at the Logan House, the Black Swan Tavern, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They actually have this about five times a year, and I just found it. A good family time, and it's free. And history, too. Okay, big one for September the 20th, besides the Duke Energy thing, is the 26th Annual Beach Sweep, River Sweep. That's on September 20th. I think this is probably a good one if your kid needs a community service project for that senior resume, those college transcripts. We're going through all that at my house. This might be a good community service project for you to be in. It's the South Carolina's largest one-day volunteer cleanup event. Every third Saturday in September from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. from the mountains to the coast. It's organized by the South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium, the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Get together and go pick up trash. And we know, you know, why do we pick up trash? Well, you know, it's bad enough along the side of the roads. In the ecosystem, it's even more dangerous. Fishing line, plastic bottles, those plastic ring things that hold together a six-pack of Cokes or whatever, those things are horrible for fish and that sort of thing. So, and it's scheduled all over the state. And if you go to their website, and I'm trying to find, I guess if you Google South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium Beach Sweep, River Sweep, September 20th, you'll bring it up here. And it gives you every site across the state and what's known as the site captains. Those are the guys that are organizing their site cleanup. And it goes from North Myrtle Beach, Myrtle Beach State Park, Waccamaw River Surfside, Garden City, Georgetown, Huntington Beach, McClellanville, Givens Ferry, Bull Island, Sullivan's Island, Mount Pea, all the way up and down the state coastline. And then you flip over and they have the inland sweep cleanup sites, which are going to be Lake Jocassee and Oconee and Pickens County, Sesquicentennial State Park down in Richland, Reedy River in Greenville, Broad River in Richland, Newberry, and Fairfield. They list the name, email contacts, phone numbers. And then I ran across an additional one, and this is kind of separate. This is the Lakeshore Sweep in conjunction with the Beach Sweep, River Sweep of South Carolina. This is up at Table Rock State Park. Same day, same time, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Like I said, a great way to give a little bit back to the environment. Could be something your kids might need. It could be a great family event. So bear that in mind if you've got that bend towards conservation, be a good idea to get out and do something. And we've been talking about this one a couple times over the year, the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School Wilderness Survival Weekend, September 20th and 21st. This is one I'd really like to be on, especially considering what we just put on the calendar for 2016. And I may talk a little bit about that later on. It's like 2 years away, but you know, we have to get everything set up today. But anyway, Wilderness Survival Weekend, September 20th and 21st, 2014. They take you out and you're going to live in the wilderness. And I think when I was talking to Hannah the first time, she said they might even throw in a little bit of an emergency case just to see how well you react. The instructors will be there to help you teach, refine, and practice your survival skills in a controlled environment. Class size is low, say, you know, maybe full by now. Topics include, you know, friction fires, water purification, survival mentality. I think I've talked before, you know, one of the biggest things in survival is just scream your head off so you get rid of all that pent-up emotion and all. I don't know if they'll take my advice and teach that or not. Primitive shelters, traps, tool construction, food gathering, and cooking over and in a fire. Really good one. The website is Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. It's Set Goals, S-E-T-G-O-L-S. Might want to check in and see if there's any room left on that one. And this one, which I thought was really cool for September 20th, from 10 a.m. to 11:30, they're going to have a hawk watch up at Caesars Head State Park. And the little description they have here is the hawk migration is one of nature's most spectacular events. Each year, thousands of hawks migrate south for the winter. They love the prevailing wind currents from the valley below and the cool air mixing on the ridge there at Caesar's Head. Somewhere I saw said at times you can see 200 plus hawks from Caesar's Head. So this is one of those you want to bring a very good set of binoculars and just see what you can see. I believe they also will have a ranger there that'll kind of be telling, you know, which hawk you're seeing and that sort of thing and where to see them. Really good. I think a really cool thing to go see. Again, I will put all of those up on the Facebook page this week so you can go check those out. And if you're on the Facebook page, go back to last week and look at all the things going on next Saturday the 13th because there was a bunch of those too. I know I recorded that show, but I remember there was probably 9 or 10 things going on next Saturday. And here I thought fall would be tailing off and getting less on the calendar event. Another programming note is we're actually live on Instagram now, and you can follow us at Woods and Water SC Radio. So I'll be starting to put up a picture here or there on Instagram and keeping you updated on what we're doing here at the radio show. So now you got the calendar events, mark it down, put it on the calendar, and get out there and do something. Like I said, I talked to Tom Jeffrey this morning, and I actually asked him to call on the show, and I mentioned to him a week or so ago. But in his words, he said, I think it's going to be a brutally busy day at the shop, and I hope it is, for his sake. So, but some of you have heard me talk, and you may have heard Taylor here on the show with me talk about the summer NAS program that she did and how much she enjoyed it. And I've always said I don't have time for bow hunting or a bow because of all the other irons I have in a fire, but she had such a good time, and I decided, you know, look, this is one time I'm going to do something I'm not really that interested in right now so she and I can have something to do together. And let me tell you, whether you're a hunter like I am thinking about getting into bow hunting or just someone out there who had one of those old fiberglass longbows as a kid, you know, the ones where you shot the arrow straight up in the air and then said, oh, my goodness, where is it coming down? Shooting one of these modern-day compound bows is a blast. Disclaimer, as long as you keep your forearm out of the way of the string. But you learn to keep that out after the first time it hits you. My brother, Paul, he and I went and got one at the same time, kind of one of those both jump off the clip at the same time things that brothers do. And we've been shooting a couple of nights a week, and it is so much fun. And I tell you, I don't know if I'm going to be able to wait till Christmas to get Taylor one of those Genesis bows she will need next year for Hurricanes Archery. Yeah, Christmas might have to come early this year for one little girl in my family. But anyway, I talked to Tom, and you know, bow season is 9 days away for you bow hunters, and maybe you just pulled your bow out of the case today. Here are a couple of things you need to check before you pull that thing out and start shooting it. Maintenance. Look at the strings and cable. See if there are any broken strands or nicks that could ruin that first shot. Tom actually said he's seen guys bring bows in the shop where the string has popped inside the case over the summer. So before you pull it back, check out your bow, your cables, and your strings just to make sure they're okay. Screws, nuts, bolts, and set screws. One simple but key bit of maintenance would be to make sure that everything's tight. I guess that keeps it all together. It also keeps little rattles from happening. I know that the quiver on my bow loosened up, I think probably the second practice session I had, and I had to tighten it down. So just a good thing to make sure everything's tight. You know, get the right Allen wrenches, the right screwdrivers, don't strip anything. If you have any problems, you can always take it to a pro shop. Knock points. One thing he said, check your knock point to make sure your knock point is still tight and it's not sliding up and down. I assume that if you have a sliding knock point, that means your arrows are going really, really up or really down right off the string. Sights. Check them for brightness or broken fiber optic strands. You know, he said one relatively easy upgrade is to upgrade your sight. I did on my bow. I just got a very entry-level bow, but I upgraded the sight just because I shot one bow that had this one sight on it, one that had another, and I said, I really like how bright this one is. So it's an easy upgrade, especially when you go to a good pro shop like Jeffrey Archery where they can install it and let you shoot at their indoor range before you go home and find out, you know, you missed that little block target or that 3D target. Because in most ranges, they have those big 3-foot by 3-foot targets that you can't miss if you try. Silencers, strings stretch over time, and sometimes an older bow will sound a little louder. He said one simple thing is to upgrade your silencers or add a stabilizer. Imperative, make sure when you shoot your broadheads that they match the flight of your field points. He said a lot of people shoot field points, and they're scared to shoot that broadhead into a target. He said, but you got to know if that broadhead's going the same place as all the practice time you spent with those field points. And as the last resort, Tom said, you know, I'd be happy to help you with your old bow problems by fixing you up with a brand new one. He's got some good package deals down there and other in-store discounts. So if you want an entry-level bow like me, just to test drive for a little while to see how you like it, you want to upgrade to a better sight, need new arrows, time to replace it all with a better, smoother bow, or if you want to check out some of the really, really cool traditional bows he's got down there, the handmade recurves or longbows, you can make a short drive down to Columbia. Jeffrey Archer is on Bluff Road off I-77. And again, be sure to tell him that I sent you. Now, the U.S. Forest Service has really stepped in this one. And I can't believe they would even come out with this. But the title, this came off of Fox News. Is nothing sacred? The Forest Service says drop chocolate and add fruit to your s'mores. And I said, do what? And the story starts off, one of the great moments in history came when an unsuspecting camper sandwiched a marshmallow and a piece of chocolate between two graham crackers, creating an American masterpiece, the s'more. But now the Obama administration is attempting to modify the third sacrament in camping's holy trinity. The U.S. Forest Service wants Americans to make healthier s'mores by replacing the chocolate with fruit. According to a blog post meant to commemorate National Roasted Marshmallow Day, apparently there is such a thing, it was observed on August 30th this year. Story goes on. There are some innovative ways to roast the little white treats that can help cut down on the amount of sugar intake by the kids, thus making a bedtime a little more doable. I don't know about you, but when I got done and ready to go to bed when I was camping, I was out like a light because I was so worn out. Think fruit, they say. The Forest Service suggested either banana chunks or grilled pineapple, as if a piece of fruit is a suitable replacement for Hershey's milk chocolate. You'll still get a tasty treat, but substituting with fruit, it is healthier as long as you watch the amount of marshmallows used. I guess what they're going to do is they're going to start regulating the marshmallows next, and they want you to try using angel food cake instead of graham crackers. Now, I don't know about you, but that just doesn't sound like a s'more to me. So, I have something for you. If you want pineapple or bananas, try this. Lightly coat either one, a whole banana or sliced pineapple with cinnamon and brown sugar. Grill them for 30 seconds per side until the sugar caramelizes, and then eat them with your traditional Hershey chocolate s'mores. But don't put them on s'mores. How do you ruin something like s'mores with fruit? Give me my sugar. That's what I say. For as few s'mores as I eat, I think I'll be all right. There's the music. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And right on cue, as we said in the calendar events, we have Amanda Dow with Duke Energy on the line. Amanda, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
I really appreciate you taking your time on Saturday to call in. I know Duke Energy way back when I was with Quail Unlimited over in Three Rivers Chapter in York and Chester County. they invited us to come up to the nuclear station up there and plant the power line. So Duke Energy, for as long as I've known them, has always been interested in the outdoor and the environment, and we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. We are that is one of our focuses, and that's one of our reasons that we hold the events and have our World of Energy Education Center here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do for Duke Energy, if you don't mind.
Sure. I am a communications specialist for the World of Energy, which is located here at the Oconee Nuclear Station in Seneca. And we do a variety of activities through the World of Energy. It is our education center for the community. So we are able to reach out to the community, have them come in here. It's open. And just learn about what it is that the Oconee Nuclear Station does and what it is that Duke Energy does in general in providing electricity.
And if you've ever hunted up through there, and along about sunrise when it's nice, cold, and clear, and had those sirens go off on a test, it will set your hair on fire.
Yes, it will, but it is a necessary measure.
Yes, it is a necessary measure. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so you've got the World of Energy up there.
We do.
And I was looking at the website, and you've got not only the story of energy, mm-hmm. but you've got a butterfly garden, you've got some other things, and the coolest thing that I saw is you can visit by boat.
That's correct. We have a pier and a boat dock that's located at our point here at the World of Energy, and anyone can pull up, dock their boat, and walk up here to the World of Energy and visit with us and see what we have to offer. We have our Story of Energy, which is the self-guided interactive tour. Unfortunately, we can't take you on a tour of the actual plant, but this is the second best thing. So you can go into this interactive tour and learn about what it is we do down in the plant, how we make that electricity that you enjoy so much, and just, you know, the whole conservation efforts that we have here at Duke. We also have a 3D topographical map, and lots of people are interested in it. You can look at all the lake regions in the area, where the hydro plants are, uh-huh. where the nuclear plant is. It's just a really large 3D topographical map. We've got lots of Duke Energy historical memorabilia all around the facility. People love looking at, you know, things from days gone by, how they climbed the poles and what they used and everything. So we have all of that. We also have the butterfly garden that folks can go through. And we have a quarter-mile nature trail, the picnic shelter, and the fishing pier, which is all open to the public.
And all of that's free?
Everything is free, yes.
Great. All right, we've got National Hunting and Fishing Day coming up in South Carolina, and you are it.
We are it. We are the host of the National Hunting and Fishing Day event for the Upstate. It is Saturday, September the 20th from 9 to 3 here at the World of Energy. It's all on our grounds, so it'll be all the way from the lake up here to the Education Center. And everything that we do on that day is free of charge. We provide all the gear, so you don't have to bring anything but your sense of adventure, basically.
Yeah.
Kids, families can come out, and this is really an opportunity for us to celebrate the outdoors, but also educate people on what there is to do in the outdoors in this area. You know, some kids don't know about shooting a bow and arrow. They've never been able to touch one. They don't know anything about it. This is their opportunity. They can actually come. We will have Department of Natural Resources here, Clemson Extension, Clemson Archery Club, Upstate Forever is one of our participants. All of these entities have come together to plan this, and these kids can come shoot a bow and arrow, shoot a air rifle. They will actually get to kayak in the lake. They will get to lake fish. So we'll have DNR folks baiting the hooks for them if they don't want to bait them, casting them. We do stock the lake and net it off, so they'll catch a fish that day. They're guaranteed to catch a fish, so they'll know what it's like.
I did not know
if
you were
never experienced it.
I did not know y'all were doing that. That is a great thing to get out there. So it's almost like a fishing rodeo.
Similar to that, but it'll be other things added to it.
Yeah.
We also have Conservation Row, where it's all the different organizations in the area that have anything to do with environment, fishing, outdoors, hunting, all that stuff. They'll have information and giveaways on Conservation Row as well, so they'll be able to go through that.
All right. Explain to me what camo games are.
Camo games. It's one of the biggest attractions. So we have all these suits that are made of camouflage, head to toe, that the kids get to put on and then go play hide and seek. And once they get down, there's an area roped off where they get to do it.
Okay.
And once they get down in these, you can't see them at all.
I'm
It's
sure.
really neat to try and find them and, you know, kind of play Where's Waldo within the, the the camouflage. So just an opportunity. Some kids, you know, may have never been able to do something like that. So right. it introduces them to the outdoors if they've never done it before.
And that's the whole reason I really started this radio show, was to get kids back outdoors. You know, when I was growing up, after breakfast and chores, you were outside until dinner time.
That's right.
And it takes a lot more. You can't do that these days. So it takes a lot more effort on parents to set aside time. And when organizations like our companies like Duke Energy come forward and host something like this free of charge, it's something that they just need to go and experience.
Exactly. And we want to encourage everyone to come out on September 20th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. here at the World of Energy in Seneca.
Wildlife critters. You're going to have some critters on hand?
We are having critters on hand that they can touch. There'll be some snakes, some baby alligators, lots of different furs and things they'll get to see of local type animals, but they will get to touch and feel some wildlife critters. Not something I'm really interested in, but.
You just have to talk about it.
Yes.
That's right. You don't have to do it. You just have to talk about it.
No, exactly.
And I see fly tying here, laser tag, mm-hmm. boater safety. You mentioned kayaks. Sponsors of this event, you're actually going to have Chick-fil-A on hand.
Chick-fil-A will be on hand if you don't want to bring your own picnic lunch, because we'll have picnic shelters and areas for you just to, you know, come and enjoy. Chick-fil-A will be here selling boxed lunches, so if you don't want to bring your own.
There you go. So the direction is a little complicated. But if you Google or go to your web page, there is a PDF form on the right-hand side of the page that you can download, and it gives you
That's
directions
right.
coming from Atlanta, from Columbia, from Spartanburg, from Greenville, Anderson, all over. So it's not hard to find.
Not hard to find, but don't use GPS. It will not
Wherever it take
here.
You.
It will take you far away.
Okay. Well, Amanda, I appreciate you coming on. I will be there for a short time. It starts at 9 o'clock.
Starts at 9 a.m.
My show starts here at 3 o'clock, so I'll probably be there from maybe 9 to 1.
Great.
Is it okay if I bring a few little freebies to give away while I'm there?
You sure can.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking time on Saturday to call in. Look forward to seeing you. And if they have any questions about this, they can call.
800-777-1004. That's our education here at the Education Center here at the World of Energy.
Great. Amanda, thank you for calling in, and I look forward to seeing you on the 20th.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I would say that would be something I'd put down on the calendar to go to. Free. You got Chick-fil-A. Hey, if, you know, Chick-fil-A box lunch will make any day a good day. There you go. Put it on the calendar. You and your family go. This is one of those things where you can get your kids some exposure. And from this exposure, they may say, well, I want to take it a step further and get involved in the Take One, Make One program. I mean, DNR will be there. I'm sure that Take One, Make One will be there. I would imagine one of their trailers would be there. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. Couple of news stories here before we get to the break and have Chris Bergen call in. We talked about this earlier. DNR, they have actually done several reef projects here over the last week or so. The first is off Beaufort Hilton Head on September the 4th, which was, what, just 2 days ago, so Thursday. They deployed 36 armored personnel carriers to the Betsy Ross Reef. So for you offshore guys, you now have some more bottom structure to go fish off of. And if you've ever been offshore and looked on some of the sonar and all, you can pick out an amazing amount of detail in 80 to 90 feet of water. It's where you're doing your drops and all that. Of course, I have dropped at 160 feet, and that's not really much fun. But they're saying here that marine artificial reefs, primarily to enhance saltwater fishing opportunities for us, the recreational angler, and for divers. There's a lot of divers that go diving on these artificial reefs. So there's your offshore reef, and then I know we talked earlier on this show about the efforts on the lakes, Lake Marion and Moultrie, Santee Cooper, and they have done that. Let me get to the page here. Anyway, they have started that, the concrete pipe and precast of North Charleston and General Precast Manufacturing Company, Monk's Corner, donated a lot of concrete structures to this project. They've started 46 pieces were deployed June 4th in 18 feet of water. The most recent placement on August 21st was 42 concrete fish attractors were placed northwest of Bono Beach in 30 feet of water. So some really good news for inshore, for freshwater and offshore fishermen. This is part of that Pittman Robertson money, along with, private donations of materials or private donations of funds that benefit us as fishermen. I think this, the Santee Cooper project is going to go on for a couple of years as they try to upgrade all of their fish structures from the old wood, traditional treetops and that sort of thing, to more of these concrete structures. So, great news. If you're going to go fishing in either one of those places, now you've got some more structure. Hopefully hold some fish and hopefully you'll catch more. There's music. I'll see you on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I appreciate Amanda coming on, and I hope you'll make time to put that on your schedule for next weekend or the 20th. A couple of real quick, Manchester State Forest, Belfast Wildlife Management Area, and Air Force at the Poinsett Electronic Combat Range, they all have some youth deer hunts coming up. If you go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage, you'll see them there. They're all due September 20th, 26th. Those are all the due dates for all three of these hunts. There's going to be several hunts at some places, one at others. If for you 17 and under, go there and check them out. I'll bring these back next week with me, and we'll talk a little bit more, because right now on the phone with us all the way from somewhere in Minnesota. Where are you, Chris?
Minneapolis.
So all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Is that get on your nerves when people do that?
No, that's fine.
Anyway, Chris is to give you just a little bit of history. I went down to cover the FLW Cup, and I knew from talking to Geddes Brandon with USA Anglers that the team from University of Minnesota made the FLW Cup. And you would not believe how intimidated I was when I pulled up there and all those guys were under the thing there eating barbecue. And I kind of walked up, and you and Felix were the first two I started talking to, and we just hit it off great. And I appreciate you talking to me that day. And I even more appreciate you calling in now.
You were actually the first reporter to talk to me too. So it was nice to get the buzz out.
Well, it was in a very friendly atmosphere. Okay. Tell us how you got involved in bass fishing at the University of Minnesota. Is this something, have you bass fished your whole life, or is this something you just picked up later on, or tell me how you started?
So I bass fished in tournaments since I was about like 16 or 17. I was with a little local club in Rylander, Wisconsin, where I'm from. And so I knew about the whole collegiate fishing. And when I got here freshman year, I looked up the clubs and saw that they had a bass fishing team. And so I shot him an email, went to the first meeting, and started it off that way.
And you're what? You're a junior this year, I think you said?
I'm going to be a senior.
You're a senior this week.
Started this week.
They just started, and I bet that's all a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a great time of year.
All right. You actually won the Ranger Cup right here in South Carolina on Lake Kiwi.
Yeah, the national championship.
And that's when y'all qualified for the cup, right?
Yep, that's how we did it.
All right. I want to know who's got the boat.
The boat that we won?
Yeah.
So our school's like a little different than like most schools. Like all the southern schools, they get a lot of funding for like gas and hotels and everything.
Right.
But we don't get any funding from our school. Everything's out of pocket.
Right.
So when we got that boat, we like actually won the boat.
I know you did.
And so Austin took it, and then he's going to upgrade it a little bit, and then he's going to get a boat, and then he paid me off for my half.
Great. Okay, well, good. He's good to you then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have y'all been fishing together how many years at U of M?
We started my junior year, so okay. This will be our second year together.
All right, FLW Cup. Now, I was intimidated at 47 going down and talking to guys my age and maybe a little younger. What was it like on your side to be down there amongst all those named people?
You know, it was a little intimidating at first, you know, at that first media day or
right.
whatever. I walk up and I'm getting lunch next to Andy Morgan and David Dudley, and I had only ever seen these guys on TV. So it was pretty intimidating at first, but I started talking to everyone, and all of those guys just, like, love all the college anglers. They're just a big fan, and everyone was super happy to say hey and shake my hand and say nice to meet you. It was really cool.
That's great. And I know the FLW took care of it because they got that Ranger boat and wrapped it in U of M. What do you call that? Maybe an all dark yellow and burnt orange?
The FLW mobile.
Yeah,
yeah, we're maroon and gold.
Maroon and gold. But, I mean, they wrapped the truck and the boat for y'all.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool. Whenever we were driving around, we always got a lot of stares. And at all the college tournaments, we were guys having guys come up like, whoa, that's cool. What's going on?
And the pros treated you right.
Oh, yeah. They were awesome.
How tough is it to fish the back end of a boat with a pro?
In some ways, it's kind of nice because, I mean, you don't have to worry about picking spots and you don't have to worry about what to do. They're kind of like your little chauffeur and drive you around and whatnot. But so really all I had to do was, like, worry about the things I could control, which is, like, picking up my, you know, tackle and what to throw and whatnot. But, I mean, it's tough fishing behind the best in the world, you know?
I'm sure.
It's a little easier, say we're like my first day I was with Randy Haynes, who just loves fishing deep. He's really good at it. You should see his graphs. He's got like 4 12-inch touchscreens on him.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, it's a little easier when we're fishing deep like that, but when you're like up against the bank, those guys don't miss a fish. So it can be pretty tough.
Yeah, in bank fishing, there's about three ways you can do it. You can run it, what, 30 yards off, throw in kind of angling towards the bank, or you can run a little bit closer and fish both sides, or some of them can run 10 feet off the bank and just ruin everything in front of you, behind you, and off to the side.
Yeah, that's when it gets real tough as a co-angler.
That makes a long day, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right. You came to the weigh-in stage day one. I was sitting right down there in front, had seen you that morning, and you pulled this fish out of the bag. Tell me about that fish.
So there was about an hour left on the first day, and I get this fish up. We were drop-shotting some like brush piles in like 30 feet, and Randy just caught one ahead of me, and so we're thinking that we got a pretty good pattern going. And I get this fish right up to the boat. It's about like a 3-pounder or something, and I was using really light line and light drag, and
right.
It goes – starts for the power poles and breaks me off. So I still don't have any fish in the boat, and it's the last hour of the Forestwood Cup. So
okay.
I was just fuming. I was just livid. Like, I was shaking so badly, I couldn't even put a new berm on. So I had to calm down for a second. We go to a new brush pile that he had marked, and about a minute or two there, I feel this thing, and I set the hook on it like it had wronged me in a past life.
Okay.
And it feels huge. I was like, oh, man, I hope this isn't a striper. Get it up to the boat. Get it in. I'm just running around celebrating that, like, I even caught one. That I'm like, all right, I'm going to the scales. And then I look down in the bottom of the boat, and it's a 5-pound fish. And I was just, it was nuts.
That was, must was have crazy. Been a feeling. Now, what did he say to you after you caught it, though? This was even funnier than you catching the fish.
So I was, like, running around celebrating for, like, a couple minutes, just going nuts. I go up to, like, give him a high five in the front of the boat, and he's like, put your rod back up. You're going to go catch two more fish.
Oh, getting some good advice from a pro.
True.
All right, you came to the weigh-in stage. You pull that thing out. Did they tell you to ham it up for the cameras, or is that just you naturally?
So I was like in the weigh-in tanks, like I was like, we were one of the last boats to come in. So it felt like forever going up there. And
right.
there's a pro ahead of me, Chad Shanker. And
right.
He's like, why have you been so quiet? And like before he goes on the stage and he's like, what do you got in there? And I open the bag. He's like, oh man, you hold that fish up for every single camera you see.
Oh me. It was great. Now that fish won you $500 that day, didn't it?
Big bass of the day.
Big bass of the day. I hope you didn't spend that $500 on fishing tackle.
Oh, no. A little bit. Not
a little bit. Well, that's allowed to put a little bit back in the kitty when you take a fish like that. Now,
exactly.
Day two was not near as kind to you, and I think you were fishing with Shin, weren't you?
I was fishing with Jacob Wheeler.
Okay, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
How did he fish? Was he deep or was he running the bank?
He was running the bank, and he was running and gunning. He fished fast. It was tough to keep up.
Tough to keep up. I know when you came up, you were kind of disappointed, but boy, I tell you, as a college kid, catching a 5-4 on day one, taking $500, being on that kind of national stage, I mean, what's it been like since?
It's been pretty crazy. I mean, those guys who fish have been fishing that as a co-angler for, like, decades. And, I mean, I was 1 pound out of the 10th spot, and I finished 11th. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with where I ended up. I wasn't too happy on the way in stage or after day two, but it's kind of settled in, and I'm really happy with where I finished, and I'm pretty proud of what happened.
And you should be. Now, did you and your family have a good time on Lake Murray Saturday?
Yeah, we rented a pontoon boat and ran around the lake. It was tough to keep up with those guys, but we eventually saw Scott Martin catch his fifth fish.
Okay,
cool.
Very good. So even family downtime, you were chasing pros around Lake Murray.
Yeah, I didn't want to get out the water.
That's dedication for you. All right, in Columbia, they're on the stage before the first day one weigh-in. They announced that the collegiate championships were coming to Lake Murray in March.
Right.
You guys going to be there?
Well, we have our qualifier to make it there coming up next weekend. So we got to make the top 10 there, and then we'll be back.
And where's your qualifier held at?
Kentucky Lake.
Kentucky Lake. Well, look, best of luck to you and Felix on that one. I would love to see you guys back in Columbia in March, and we can pick up where we left off the other day.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too. Chris, look, I hope classes go well for you. Keep in touch with me, and I'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. Thanks, bud. You know, I can only imagine, well, first of all, I can only imagine fishing, well, okay. No, I can't, because I fished a lot when I was in school, probably more than I should have. Probably should have been in class a little more than I was, but I was off hunting and fishing. But can you imagine, as a collegiate angler, you know, a junior in college, and you make the FLW Cup, and for those of you that don't bass fish, bear with me just for a second, but these are guys you see on TV for, you know, these big tournaments, winning money, catching big fish. I mean, they're doing this for a living, and they are really intimidating until you meet them. And they're just really great guys, but I can only imagine what it was like for them. I sent Chris a bunch of pictures because I took like 2,700, I think, over 5 days down there. But I sent him a bunch of pictures, and one of them was really good. He had that fish right up in the camera, right up there in front of the stage. And then the next morning, I saw him again at the boat ramp, and he was sitting in the back of the boat he was riding for the day. And he just had this cat eating grin on his face, like, boy, I whooped him yesterday, and watch out for me today. But just a really good kid. You know, all these kids I've met in this collegiate fishing thing since I've gotten involved back in March have been just really upstanding, polite, gentleman type. Felix was really nice, his partner. You know, if you're out there in high school fixing to go off to college somewhere, just started college, I know a lot of these clubs just had their first meeting, jump in there. You know, they're glad I met some of the new ones down at for the USC angling team when I was down in Columbia on Sunday for the final weigh-in. So get in and get involved. All you high school kids, check out and see if you can get a club started at your high school, because that's the first step, going to college, fishing, and then maybe, hey, I don't know if those guys are going to go on the pros or go out in society. Just a good start. Wow. It's almost over. So we're ready for Chuck. Chuck for this week. When you put Chuck Norris in your GPS, he's always right behind you. So I want to thank Tom for the archery tips, Amanda for the rundown on the free National Hunting and Fishing Day on September 20th, Chris Bergen for calling in all the way from Minnesota. Next week, don't really know what's going to happen yet. I got so many things I want to get on the calendar this month. I just don't think I'm going to get them all on there. But as long as the voice recorder did its job, I will have the kids from Take One, Make One Dove Shoot. I might have Joe Ellen Wilson from the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust on to talk about our tarpon fishery here in South Carolina. But right now I've got Taylor and Sophie waiting on me to get home so we can head over to the dove field. Taylor's a 4-year veteran of opening day dove hunts, but this will be Sophie's first time. Sophie's my black lab. And although I am way behind on my training schedule, I think she'll do just fine. Hope all the guys that were out there today had a safe, memorable day. You know, all it takes is a couple of friends, either old or new. A few birds flying around, some cloud cover's a bonus, lots of empties, and you got another fine opening day. Can't you see? There's James. It's all for another Saturday. Start making a list of all the outdoor things you can do. We'll be talking about them here and doing a lot of them right here on the show. The weather looks cooler this week, so be careful. Get outdoors. Travel the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. Enjoyed it. See you next week.